Welcome now to Live and Local. I'm Roger Cooper sitting in for Kevin Kelly today and tomorrow. Kevin returns on Friday with a Best Of program. My guest this afternoon, I have in the studio with me Jeff Helgeson. Helgeson, a legendary trumpet player from the Champaign-Urbana area. He's been around playing for us for about 25 years, is it, Jeff?
About so, yeah. Yeah, I think that's about right.
To a very, very appreciative audience. He's playing Friday night with the Boneyard Jazz Quintet, and that's at the Iron Post.
That's actually my quintet this week, and I'll be playing with Boneyard the week after.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This week will actually be my quintet. But I'm looking forward to playing with the Boneyard crew.
Okay, then. So that's your quintet this weekend.
Yes, that's correct.
And that's... The Iron Post is correct.
That is correct, yeah,
which
from 5 to 7 on Friday.
One of your favorite venues.
It is.
I understand. So let's talk a little bit about you, I guess. Let's start with your beginning. How did you, I know your dad is a jazz trumpeter.
He is, yeah. My first exposure to jazz was listening to my dad play here in town, and he was... He was a performer places such as the Village Inn, which was around as you know in the early '60s, even promoting live Dixieland jazz and the like. And I can't say I recall much of this because I was 1 or 2 years old. But my folks would bring me out and to hear some live music out there. And Dad's still here in town and playing and fairly active. And so my earliest exposure. Both to listening and then performing was listening and performing Dixieland music with my dad mm-hmm. and Medicare 7, 8, or 9.
But you went through the, did you go through the music school?
I did. I did spend some time in the music school here. I was a student of music education for a while and then student of the, before the jazz degree program was formalized by Chip McNeil here, I was a student in the jazz studies program under Tom Berkner when he was leading the jazz division.
Oh, that's great. I tell you what, I'm kind of jiggling CDs and machines here to get little things a little bit more organized. Why don't I play a piece and we'll do a little bit of organization here. I have the album, the CD here, Holding On to What Counts.
Oh, that features Chip Stevens, who's the mm-hmm. piano player both on this Friday's gig and just a marvelous trio outing. I'm not featured on this, but I thought this was a great showcase for him. The first track on that CD is a real tour de force that I think will show you what we got in store for you on Friday.
That was Cooking at the Continental and featured the Chip Stevens Trio. Chip Stevens at the piano. The bass player was Ken Walker and the drummer was Todd Reed. This did not feature Jeff Helgeson, who is the guest here on Live and Local, but it does feature an artist that Jeff plays with often and will be playing with soon. Is mm-hmm. that correct, Jeff?
That's correct. Yes, this Friday.
So. And can you tell us a little bit? You were telling me a little bit about... some of the other musicians, such as Chip Reed, and maybe you could share that a little bit.
Yeah.
Of that.
The gig this Friday is part of a continuing series that we do at the Iron Post. I'm there just about once a month, usually the third Friday of the month, and almost always I'm there with Chip McNeil, who's the director of jazz studies here at the university, a very fine and accomplished tenor saxophone player. Who's as we mentioned before, has put together the jazz program here at the university. Chip Stevens, who you just heard there on piano, marvelous piano player, also very feted. And the two of them have performed extensively with groups such as the Woody Herman Big Band, Arturo Sandoval, Maynard Ferguson, a host of other large and small mm-hmm. ensembles. So they've got a lot of recordings under their belt and Just a real pleasure to have them here in town, let alone, you know, have the opportunity to play with them. Also joining us on Friday will be Joel Kelsey, who's a relative newcomer to Champaign-Urbana. I believe he came from the Bloomington, Indiana area and came out of the IU campus, a very fine bass player. I'm looking forward to playing with more this year. And then Gary Payton, my good friend, drummer, who's been playing with me since, since he's been here in town in the mid-'80s back at Nature's Table. So it's a good group, and I'm really looking forward to playing with them, you know.
Now, Jeff, I know you're being a little bit modest because you mentioned Chip Stevens playing with Maynard Ferguson and some of these great stars, but you yourself also have been involved with these artists.
I have a feather or two in my cap, but but nothing like theirs. I did spend some time on the road with Ray Charles back in the late 80s and up until about 1990, and I've had some other opportunities to play and record with some other artists. Nothing like the Ray Charles experience, which was pretty singular.
So. Uh-huh. Well, let's hear something now that features you on the trumpet. This is from a CD entitled Craig Russo, the Latin Jazz Project.
Yes, the Mambo Influenciado. Actually, Craig was on this show a few weeks ago to promote this CD, which is doing quite well nationally, actually, and the tune that I suggested we listen to is called Power of Mind. It was a tune that Chip McNeil brought into the recording session, and I think we did this on the first take. It's just a fun, very interesting composition, and both I and Chip Stevens and Chip McNeil are all featured on it. So,
that's it. Very munchable side, The Power of Mind, and it featured Jeff Helgeson, who is my guest here in the studio. Who else was heard in that performance, Jeff?
Chip McNeil, who composed the piece on tenor saxophone, Chip Stevens on piano, Josh Walden, local bass player, was on bass, and then Craig Russo on percussion, and Jeff Magby on the drums.
Very nice. Let me ask you, you mentioned that you were going to be in a festival in Lafayette coming up?
That's correct. Actually, this gig that we're performing at the Iron Post on Friday is a little bit of a tune-up gig, if you will, for our appearance Saturday the 28th at the Uptown Jazz and Blues Festival in Lafayette, Indiana, where we'll be headlining the jazz stage, doing a lengthy set there. That'll be our first time appearing there. And it looks very exciting. It looks like a fun festival. I know they've done it for several years, and we're real excited about playing that festival as well. So yeah, looking forward to it.
What I started to say earlier, I remember a few years back, my socks were literally just about knocked off my feet. I went to a concert. I had a friends of mine that had a young son who attended Edison.
Oh, okay.
And he was in a jazz program, so he wanted me to come over here. He plays trumpet. Hear him play in the jazz band, and I thought, a jazz band, grade school. So I wasn't expecting much, but man, I went over there, and those kids really blow.
Oh yeah, absolutely, boy. I went to Edison many, many moons ago when it was a junior high school, and we didn't have anything like that going. You know, they've got a marvelous program there, and boy, do they sound good.
Yeah, I remember when I was in grade school, I mean, I went through the band program, and we certainly never played jazz. We were busy trying to play the Marines, Him, and Anchors Away. And the school song, I think, was probably as exciting as we ever got. But how young does a jazz music education begin? I guess it would be like a classical music education. It depends on where your orientation is.
Yeah, well, that's certainly the case. You know, most wind players pick up their instrument in fifth grade or so and start learning the basics. If you're, depending on where you are in the country and what the population of and makeup of your community is, you may get lucky and have a middle school jazz program like we do here. Excuse me. But you know, in other parts of the country, the first exposure you may get to it might be high school, mm-hmm. You know, or even later, depending on what your your ability level is. So, you know, kids who get an early start on it, you know, have a leg up, you know, because the longer you've played, it seems like the bigger chore it is to kind of learn a new style of music. And so we're real lucky here in this community to have, you know, a lot of support for jazz music, have programs in the junior high school or the middle schools and the high schools that really promote jazz seriously. And it's an embarrassment of riches, really, because it's not like this in a lot of communities around Illinois.
I was totally swept away. I mean, how do you teach a 10 or 11-year-old to swing?
Well, you know, if I knew that, I'd be a teacher. But you know, it's really a testament to, well, you know, you mentioned Edison. They've got a very strong middle school program, and you know, the folks leading that there are kind of continuing along a process that and a cooperation with the Central High School program and other programs here in the community. So it's very much a cooperative sense. And there are, you know, there are ways of teaching kids to mm-hmm. do that, you know, and it seems rudimentary to people who have extensive music background, but there's a lot of drilling and things just to get people to kind of think a little bit outside of the box in terms of, you know, getting kids to listen to this style of music much earlier than they normally would, and just to, you know, to force them to swing things that wouldn't naturally swing, you know.
What do you know about the university's jazz program? Now, I know that you did not go through the program here.
Not the program as it exists now. Yeah. No. You know, when I went through the program, there wasn't really any significant financial backing for a degree program. And so while there had been attempts in the past to kind of codify a program, it really at that point hadn't come together. When Chip McNeil, the current director of the Jazz Studies program, came in, he brought in a package, you know, and basically kind of established a pretty strong program, and it got rolling very quickly. And you could tell not only just by the nature of the organization of the curriculum, but the number of players who started showing up in Champaign-Urbana, especially sax players, to study with Chip, the number of quality musicians just rose dramatically. Which is great if you're a jazz listener. Of course, if you're a jazz musician, that means it's a little harder to get a gig. But you know, that's there are worse problems to have. You know, I think the community's really benefited from the development of that program. You know, there's just so many good players in town right now, just tons of them.
If I were a trumpeter, and I wanted to come to you and say I want to learn jazz. I mean, what do you teach me? Do I do tunes and you coach me in the style, or is it actual technique as in classical music? I mean, I guess I admit I'm naive in this subject.
Well, those are interesting questions. There's, I'm kind of the, you know, I'm not an educator, and an educator would give you a different answer to this mm-hmm. question. But if I were to take on a student, depending on their technical facility, of course. I'm kind of the opinion that it's very hard to teach people how to improvise. Mm-hmm. I'd say it's impossible. People have to kind of teach themselves, and that involves, in addition to the same types of technique development that are required for classical musicians, there's also a very large listening component that's required, an internalization of many, you know, many different applications of the music. And in my case, I spent a lot of time transcribing solos, you know, literally listening to solos and writing down what the trumpet soloist was playing and trying to then play that or play along with recordings and try to imitate what I was hearing. And for people just starting out, there's a lot of frustration with that because it's very difficult. You really have to, you know, basically the basic components are you have to learn to play by ear so that you can play a melody that you think of in your head. And the other side of that is you have to have some interesting melodies in your head or your solos. You know, you can be the most technically gifted player in the world, but your solos won't sound very natural. And so, you know, it's two-pronged. You know, you have to be technical, mm-hmm. technically facile with your instrument, but you've also really got to devote a lot of time to absorbing, you know, the music that's kind of come before us, you know, and that's the type of thing that players like Wynton Marsalis stress, you know, you know, everything we do is kind of includes a kind of a nod to people who have kind of paved the way before us.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know you aren't on the staff the music school program, but is there a place in the school like for natural musicians? You said you have to teach yourself to play by ear, but there are a lot of jazz musicians, great musicians, who do not play by note at all. They only play by ear. Is there a place for them in the program?
Well, I think there is, you know, but I don't think that the university system is set up to foster that kind of talent exclusively. Mm-hmm. That is, you have players who come in with a pretty good technical facility, but lack the background in listening to the music. On the other hand, you may have people that come in with an awful lot of background listening to the music who play very interesting solos, and in that case, really, often their deficiency, the thing that will hold them back, is that other end of things. You know, in other words, they may sound great playing one particular style, but in order to extend their range, mm-hmm. they may have to, you know, apply some of these more, you know, more formalized techniques, studying scales and advanced harmony and things like that, all of which the university offers. You know, when I came into the program here, I was very much an ear player. I had learned, as I said, playing, listening to Dixieland music around the house, and playing along a bit with those recordings, and you know, early opportunities to play with Dixieland bands. And so that's interesting music, but it's not very harmonically advanced. Mm-hmm. And so you can only get so far with that kind of background for your ears, you know, and you have to start developing it. So, you know, I think to be complete, you have to kind of come at it with both, you know, with both guns blazing, so right, to speak. Uh-huh.
Now, you mentioned having to learn to listen to some music, so I want to go back and listen to some more playing by right. you. This is a piece called Black Nile. Tell us what to listen for as we hear this.
This band is Jazz Mayhem. This is a group that we formed out of Tom Wertle, who just left for Houston, Texas, a fine composer and arranger. He and I were playing in a band called Trumpet Mayhem, which was basically a rhythm section with as many trumpet players as I could get together to play jazz. And, you know, it was just kind of fun to... it featured Ray Sasaki, who was the trumpet professor here at the time, and other folks. And when we lost a couple of those players, Tom suggested that we reform the group, but change the front line so that it was a little easier to score for. And he was able to adapt arrangements for those that sounded a little fuller, mm-hmm. like a more formalized band. So this is the band that came out of that. The arrangement of Black Nile was a project, an arranging project that I kind of took on myself, and I got some help from Chip McNeil, who's on top of being a great musician, also a fabulous composer and arranger. So this is, you know, with this particular piece, it's mostly a head chart, what we call a head chart in jazz parlance. So it's an introduction, statement of the melody, and then open section for solos over the form. No backgrounds or anything like that, and then the head out, and you know, a restatement of the melody and a coda which mimics the introduction. So it's actually a fairly simple form if you have it mapped out in front of you.
And that was Black Nile from the CD, Jazz Mayhem, featuring my guest, Jeff Helgeson, and company. And we're speaking with him this afternoon on Live and Local. I'm Roger Cooper, sitting in for Kevin Kelly this evening, this afternoon, rather, here on WILL. Programming on WILL made possible by the University of Illinois School of Music, presenting the Allerton Music Barn Festival, September the 2nd through the 6th at Allerton Park. For more information, visit www.allertonmusicbarn.com. And featured in the Allerton Music Barn Festival this year will be trumpeter John Faddis. We're going to interrupt the music here for just a minute. While I say interrupt, this really isn't an interruption. I'm speaking with Stephen Bentz from 40 North, 88 West. And it's time now for the ACE Awards. Nominations are open through September the 1st. And Steve is here to tell us a little bit about the nominating process, a little bit about the organization and arts in the area. Steve?
Good afternoon. Well, it's kind of exciting coming through campus on a day like this. You can feel that electricity in the air. It's everything's just sort of waking up again, and that's good to see. And I you know, Roger, I think that it's a common observation about this community that there seems to be so much going on, that there seems to be an enormous amount of presenters and artists and arts activities, concerts, just you name it. And that's really what the ACE Awards is about. It's about coming together on an evening and raising a toast to the individuals, the artists, the presenters, the organizations, the businesses, really everyone who is contributing to making that happen. It stands for Arts, Culture, and Entertainment. That's where that acronym came from. Mm-hmm. But it's a special event that 40 North has been presented. This is actually our sixth year. We've been presenting that. This year it's going to be in the Canopy Club in the middle of Arts and Humanities Month, which is October. So the phase that we're in right now really is turning to the community and asking for nominations, because that's the source of the ACE Awards. And honestly, I think if there's one thing you need to know about the ACE Awards, it's that it's owned by the community. I mean, 40 North puts it on, mm-hmm. but it's definitely the community that tells us about these individuals, these enterprises, these businesses that should be recognized for what they're doing for the arts here. And it's actually the community that tells us who the winners are. It's a panel of seven independent judges who come together in September and look through all those nominations and make their decisions. And then we hand out the awards in mid-October.
Mm-hmm. And what are the categories of the awards? I know there's Best Arts Educator.
Well, that's right. Yeah. And that's kind of neat. I think there are seven different categories, and they represent different facets, if you will, of the cultural life of our community. So there's an award for Best Arts Educator or Best Arts Education Program, honestly. There's an award for Advocacy for the Arts. There's an award for Creative Community Service. So those would be the individuals who are volunteering for the mm-hmm. arts or supporting the arts in that way. There's an award for Best Business Support for the Arts, Media Support for the Arts, Lifetime Achievement, and then one called Spotlight. And that's really about the individuals or programs or events that are bringing attention to our community from outside its boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Now, who can nominate and who can be nominated?
Well, anyone can nominate. In order to win, you need to be a resident of Champaign County. So it's really about the cultural life of Champaign County as created by its residents.
Mm-hmm. And I guess they do this based on how well they feel that the individual fulfills these criteria for each whichever category they're nominating?
That's correct. Yeah, we have a lot of nominees, and we really do encourage everyone to. I think we all know someone. Mm-hmm. You know, we all know someone who's either through the work that they do or through their volunteer efforts, they're supporting the arts here in a big way. They're staying late, is what I usually say, mm-hmm. or they're writing the checks, or they're volunteering, or they're creating new and exciting programming and supporting it in some cases just for years and years and years. And this is really about an award for not just the people who are well-known in this community, although it's certainly that, mm-hmm. but it's also for people who are kind of unsung. You know, they may have labored on a project for 30 years in some case and not really become someone who is well-known in the community for that work.
Mm-hmm. Now, are they chosen on the number of nominations that they get, or is it not dependent on popularity, but rather...
Correct. It's not. Yeah, that's a great question. It's we certainly welcome any nomination. That's I want to make that clear, that anyone can nominate and can nominate anyone. But it is, I think really the judges are asked to make their decisions based on the quality of the stories being told. You know, what kind of impact has this person or this business or this organization had through their work?
I don't know. Do you think some of the past winners would mind having their names mentioned?
No, I don't think so. And I think it's kind of a nice illustration, really, because it shows that, you know, some of these individuals, Mike Ross, one, for his incredible transformation of the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. Of course, you know, mm-hmm. that has to be recognized and honored. But Mary Ellen Page, one as well. And this is a retired school teacher from Tolono who, through her own sweat equity, created an incredibly successful theater program there at that school. And we put her on a stage in front of 350 people, and she got a standing round of applause, and that was nice. You know, mm-hmm. that was really what this award is about. It's Nathan and Julie Gunn, who are well-known singers and performers and educators in their own right. But it's also Carl and Nadja Altstetter, who through decades of support for the Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra have lent time and treasure and really life's blood to that organization.
Mm-hmm. And an individual can be nominated more than one year, is that correct? As long as if they don't win the first year, they can be nominated the second year?
Well, you know, we don't really have a hard and fast rule about that. Mm-hmm. And honestly, there are so many, I think this goes to that first point of how busy we all are in this town. There are so many nominees that it hasn't really become an issue. We don't need mm-hmm. to have a rule at this point on that.
Ah, great. It really does show just the wealth of artists and venues available here in the area. I've always said, you know, I came here in 72 for graduate school, and I right. never left like so many other people. But, you know, why would you? There's so much right here. Plus you have, you know, the convenience of a small town, and plus you have all the art venues and opportunities that you'd have right. in a larger place.
Yeah, Mike Ross, when he got up last year to present an award, he'd been the previous award winner, and so he was presenting the award for advocacy to Joellen DeVilbiss from the Conservatory. He said, this is just like the Academy Awards, micro-urban style.
And what were you wearing? once again, tell us the nominating process once more before we...
Certainly. Very quickly. Nominations for the ACE Awards are being accepted at our website, and that's www.40north.org. And they will close on the 1st of September, so there's a couple of weeks here left for that process. We're actually going to release the winners of the awards earlier this year. That's going
so
to
that's
be done
change.
In advance. Yeah, we wanted to make sure that people had an opportunity to get out and get to the awards ceremony and, you know, be a mm-hmm. part of the celebration of those that they know and love.
So that's great. So, and then the actual presentation?
Yes, that is going to be, again, at the Canopy Club. It's sponsored this year by BC Bank and the Canopy, and that's on October the 13th. It's a Wednesday night with the doors opening at 5:30. Tickets are available online at our website.
Now, what all this presentation ceremony, what all does that involve?
That's a great question. It's a big party. I mean, this is really a celebration. It's not a 3 or 4 hour affair. It's something that you can essentially do on the way home with the doors opening at 5:30. We have heavy hors d'oeuvres. We'll have food served there, wonderful bars there at the Canopy Club, and then there's going to be some short performances in advance of the ceremony, which will begin about 6:30. It runs for about an hour.
Okay, great. We look forward to it. And thank you for stopping by to tell us about
Thanks
it.
Thanks so much.
And all the other great things that your organization does.
Appreciate it.
That's Stephen Bentz, who came by to talk to us about the ACES Award. And again, the deadline for nomination, September the 1st. So that's coming up. And again, that was Jeff Helgeson performing from the CD Jazz Mayhem, and that was Compensation.
Compensation
was the name of that tune.
Yeah, nice arrangement by Chip McNeil.
Very nice, very rich, and very mellow. As I was listening to you playing those trumpet solos, or the riffs, or rides, whatever you hepcats call it, I'm wondering, what is going through your head when you're playing? I mean, it's certainly not the 1 and 2 and 3 and that the classical musician is hopefully not doing either. But
I don't know that. I mean, obviously you're cognizant of time and pulse, but because you're composing on the fly, in effect, you have to kind of at least in some part of your brain be processing harmony as it's going by. Mm-hmm. That last piece was a little more involved than some of the other ones that you've been playing from a harmonic standpoint in terms of going through different key areas and the like. So it's challenging. You know, you really have to know your place and keep track, or you can get derailed very quickly. So and different players are thinking of different things. You know, it's just a matter of you know, how their brain gets occupied. You know, some people can play just on automatic, you know, and other people have to concentrate very hard to produce what they produce. So.
Yeah. I'm always amazed at jazz players, how they do that. And they just run through different keys and different time signatures. And it's all just one fluid.
Yeah, I'm amazed too sometimes. You know, frankly, there's some, I've heard some amazing things in this town, that's for sure, you know.
Mm-hmm. Who would you say was the most... you know, all these comparisons and things are odious, as they say, but the most influential or the greatest trumpet player, I guess, of the 20th century.
Oh, I could tell you who my favorite, I guess who my favorite would be right now, is a trumpet player named Woody Shaw, who sadly passed away 10 or 15 years ago, I guess, in New York, just because that's where my tastes lie right now. But he was a remarkably facile a trumpet player with a nobody else sounds like him. Just an amazing harmonic sense, and sadly, you know, left us far too early. But great player, one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great, and thank you for coming in and sharing your art with us, Jeff Helgeson. And you want to hear more of Jeff, and I know we all do, then we can hear him performing live this Friday, and that's at the Iron Post. Then he has a whole slew of performances coming up throughout the rest of the summer and the fall.
Yep.
And I'm sure that they will all be posted and we can catch Jeff. And thank you for coming in and sharing some time with us, Jeff.
Thank you, Roger. I appreciate it. Mm-hmm.
That's Lady Day, as we say goodbye to Jeff Helgeson with our thanks to him for stopping by, and also to Stephen Bentz. I'm Roger Cooper. Thank you for sharing your time with WILL FM and HD Urbana, Illinois Public Media 90.9, WILL FM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana.